Yes. Okay. My name is Ren. I am 22 years old. Today is the 8th? 10th? Oh, time flies, huh? The 10th of June 2019. I'm speaking with Dawn, who is...
You want my age?
Who is my relationship? I don't
know. Oh. Who is a
interview partner.
Fellow resident of Anchorage.
Yeah. So we are recording this interview in Anchorage, Alaska. So tell me a little bit about yourself. When and where were you born?
Okay. Well, I was born in 1945, August 22nd. In Jamestown, New York, which is in western New York. Mm-hmm. And I spent a few early years in the city of Jamestown, where my dad worked in a factory. And then when I was in fourth grade, we moved out into the country to live in my grandfather's small farm. Mm. And that's where I spent the rest of my childhood.
Nice. Is that nice, just being on a farm?
Well, you know, it was a very remote, it was, half mile to the nearest neighbor. Mm-hmm. There were no children my age, so it was a little bit lonely. Mm-hmm. I loved going to school because that's where other kids were. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so,
I can imagine.
I think probably I look back at it more fondly than I actually lived it, because... Mm-hmm. It was work. We had to be home by 5:30 every day to do chores, to milk the cow. Mm-hmm. We had a couple cows and beef cattle, things like that, and chickens. I was in 4-H, and I had chickens, and so all those animals had to be taken care of. So mm-hmm. It really put restrictions on what you could do, mm-hmm. and how long you could be away.
Yeah. How did you first begin to realize your sexual or gender identity?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I really didn't identify my sexual identity or orientation even as a teenager. I was pretty suppressed, I think. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a word for it. I just knew that there was something different about me, mm-hmm. from a very early age. And and so I became kind of a loner because I was afraid to be too close to other boys, because I thought maybe I'd say something that would show something different about me, mm-hmm. or undesirable. And so I was pretty much a loner, didn't have really close friends, although I was very active in activities, but not close friendships. Mm-hmm. So I would think probably in college is when I had a name. In high school, the word homo would be whispered, perhaps, mm-hmm. but you knew that was something you didn't want to be mm-hmm. labeled. It was an insult or something whispered about somebody else. Mm-hmm. So you definitely didn't want to be associated with anything like that. And I didn't know any gay people, either older than me or younger. Everyone was, at that time, very closeted if they mm-hmm. were gay. You know, maybe more flamboyant people would be targeted, you know, mm-hmm. but not in a positive way. So it was, it was probably college when I realized that, I had these gay feelings. I still dated a couple women during mm-hmm. college, and afterwards, just because that was something I thought I should do, and I liked the women that I dated. They were really very nice, and I was shocked that they were interested in me. So uh-huh. it was, really hard because I liked them. One of them said once, oh, there's something missing in our relationship. Well, I wasn't, you know, I'd hold their hand, but I wasn't, there was no sexual interest.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, you know, and in retrospect, I do remember, you know, looking at, remembering details about, you know, little boys in gym class when I was in the third grade. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really think anything about it at the time.
Yeah.
It was more of a retro memory.
I definitely feel that. I am like, oh, huh, that's something I maybe should have realized earlier, huh?
Because you can. But we just, you know, didn't have a name for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I wanted, you know, I just expected to be just like my parents. I'd have a family, get married, have mm-hmm. a family, and, you know, that was what was expected.
Mm-hmm. Okay, tell me about the first time you came out. Who did you tell and why?
Well, I guess it depends on how you define coming out. I'd gotten out of the military, and was struggling with what to do next. And I, I did come out to a psychologist while I was in the military.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I went to a chaplain, talked to a chaplain, and I didn't, because they're officers in the military, I didn't want to share with him what my real issue was.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was a very nice man, but he referred me to, a family psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
And so I talked about my concerns with that person.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wasn't very helpful. This was in the 60s. I guess it was in the early 70s, I told the family physician in my little town,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Reno was his name, and and I blurted out to him that I think I was gay and used those words. And he said, oh, and he was a Seventh-day Adventist, but he said, oh, you know, Michelangelo was gay or something like that.
Yeah.
And that was the first positive response I had ever gotten from somebody about these feelings that I couldn't get rid of. And so I really, you know, I wanted to hug him. Of course, I didn't. But it was and as far as a friend, boy, that was, I was pretty closeted until I got up here in Alaska
mm-hmm.
and I was in my mid-30s.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I had my first gay friends.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I would go out to a bar late at night, and I would, you know, I was a hidden
mm-hmm.
gay and
mm-hmm.
straight during the day
mm-hmm.
sort of thing.
Okay. Do you have memories from your youth of when you treated kindly around your sexuality, cruelly? So I think we covered that a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't. I was never put down or discriminated as a gay person as a child
mm-hmm.
because I passed for straight
mm-hmm.
and I was very careful
mm-hmm.
about not showing anything, although there were some signs. I mean, I enjoyed combing women's hair
mm-hmm.
which is should have been a clue too probably
yeah.
and you know, little things like that, but and I liked hanging out in the kitchen with the women after a holiday dinner rather
mm-hmm.
than being in the TV room with the men. So that was kind of interesting too.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really think of that as being because I was gay.
Mm-hmm. Who was your first love, your first relationship?
Well,
those are,
you know,
can be
I
separate.
Think, so. Yeah, well, the first the first person I think I fell in love with was up here, and I was in my late 30s, mm-hmm. I think. And he was going to college, and I really, before, up until that time, I just met people at a bar, and we'd go home together, perhaps, mm-hmm. and then that would be the end of it, probably. Mm-hmm. But this person I really liked being with, and we went, you know, we went hiking together, and it seemed like a more normal, quote unquote, relationship. Mm-hmm. We enjoyed each other's company, and mm-hmm. seemed to have a lot in common. But then he moved to Hawaii to continue school, so mm-hmm. that was the end of that. And it was very painful. Mm-hmm. Because it was my first experience of breaking up, and I was not a teenager. I was, you know, a grown man, so mm-hmm. it was kind of hard.
Mm-hmm. how has your life been different than you imagined?
Well, it's been very different, because I thought, I thought I would get married and have children. I used to, and I loved children. I loved the idea of family life, mm-hmm. and that was hard for me to, and I thought I would be a teacher, and I assimilated a lot of the negative beliefs about gay people. I internalized them. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, you can't be around kids, you shouldn't be a teacher. You know, in those days, if you were a teacher and you were found out to be gay, you'd be fired, mm-hmm. you know. That was the same in the military too, but so, you know, I wanted to thought it would be nice to be in like the Foreign Service, but you couldn't be in the Foreign Service if you were gay, mm-hmm. I mean, or if you were found out, you'd be fired. So all those things, mm-hmm. And so it was really. Those career paths were kind of, I didn't follow through on them much, because I was afraid that I didn't want to disgrace myself or my family, mm-hmm. so I just avoided that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's been different in that way. It has also been different in very positive ways. I think it forced me to rethink some of my assumptions. Mm-hmm. Some of my religious assumptions, some of my assumptions about human sexuality in general, mm-hmm. and because I felt like the other growing up, I think it gave me some insights in being interested in foreign cultures and in the other, in the more broader global mm-hmm. sense.
Yeah, that's, I feel like the self assessment that you kind of have to do gives you more empathy towards other people who
yeah,
are also
that's what,
othered.
Yeah, and I know, I don't think that's a given, because mm-hmm. sometimes I'm shocked at how prejudiced some gay people can be
yeah.
to others, and I don't I think, wow. You know, so it's not a given, but mm-hmm. at least for me, I think it had that impact.
Mm-hmm. Have things changed for the LGBTQ community over the last 50 years? How do you hope life will be different for the LGBTQ community 50 years from now?
Well, of course, 50 years ago, I think gay people were very isolated in many ways. Mm-hmm. And most people were closeted, and you didn't have easy communication between people like you do now. Mm-hmm. And the only place really you could meet somebody would be late at night in a bar. Mm-hmm. And that was, whether you wanted to be at a bar or not, that's where you had to go if mm-hmm. you wanted to meet anybody. Mm-hmm. And people really, and I think, again, sometimes we absorbed the idea that we're just sexual beings as mm-hmm. gay people. We didn't, and so of course we wouldn't have long-term relationships. We would mm-hmm. just be sexual. And so, you know, lots of us were just single, you know, and didn't really imagine getting married or being able to adopt children or mm-hmm. anything like that. I mean, that was just totally out of the question. Mm-hmm. So those things, I think, are, and most of us were older at by the time we came out. So our high school years, we were just, you know, I at least, you know, was not out mm-hmm. either to myself or to anybody else. Mm-hmm. I just suppressed everything sexual. Mm-hmm. Now I think, you know, it's amazing to me how comfortable teenagers, even in high school, mm-hmm. are about their sexuality. I'm sure there's some difficulties, but I mean, they can date, they do date, and it's just a part of their, of who they are. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to allow them to be a lot healthier, I think, as adults. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important. I think also it's important that they do have the option of having a long-term relationship and being married if they want to be, and mm-hmm. having children, and all those opportunities are available to them. Mm-hmm. And I think they realize that they are, and so they have a lot more choices. Mm-hmm. And I also think they feel like a gay person should be able to do anything, work in any field. Mm-hmm. And that it's not going to prevent them. I mean, they're in the military now, mm-hmm. and that was amazing. I liked the military, but I was afraid that if somebody found out about me, I'd get a dishonorable discharge. And mm-hmm. that would be devastating.
Yeah.
So didn't really dare do anything or come out to anybody.
Mm-hmm. What advice would you give your teenage self?
My teenage self?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you know, I would have wanted me to have a healthier attitude on who I was, mm-hmm. and that this is the way I am, and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think the way I dealt with it as a teenager was survival mode. Mm-hmm. I didn't want, it was better to just be suppressed than to be out and rejected and
mm-hmm.
and not have a chance at life at all.
Yeah.
So that's, I don't really think I had any other viable way of being mm-hmm. in those days.
Yeah, that's definitely understandable.
Yeah. And I wasn't in a big city either, so mm-hmm. this was, everybody knew everybody, and so you really, there was just no options of being out and acknowledging who I was. Plus, mm-hmm. I was in a very conservative church, and that was, sexuality in general was looked askance at, and certainly mm-hmm. homosexuality was just totally never acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice that you would give, like, LGBT teens today?
Well, I don't think I have that much wisdom to really give them any advice, but I think you know, it's important for them to see themselves as whole and to live their lives to the fullest,
mm-hmm.
However they can do that. Don't put self limitations on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
what are
follow
you?
Follow your dreams. Yeah.
What are you most proud of?
Well, I'm proud that the way I've treated other people, I think, with kindness, respect. I'm proud of the volunteer work that I've done over my lifetime. Mm-hmm. And my jobs have always been in sort of social service jobs, mm-hmm. Helping people in times of need or, or when I was working with the International YMCA as a volunteer, working with young people overseas, and with the hope that their lives could be better, mm-hmm. with knowing English, mm-hmm. especially in the Middle East, where it's the commercial language, language of business. Mm-hmm. And I was proud of my military experience. I did very well there, and people liked me. I was a hard worker. So, yeah, and I've always been a conscientious, responsible person. I am a little disappointed that I have never established a long-term relationship. Mm. And so that, I think there's some shortcoming there, but I don't. The other thing I'm really proud of is that I was adopted by a family that used to live here, and they had a daughter and two twin boys, mm-hmm. and I helped raise the boys, even when they were just from the time they were born till they were three when they moved away. You know, I took care of them, babysat, carried them around, mm-hmm. changed diapers, fed them, did all those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. That was my chance to be part of a family, and I really appreciated their trust in letting me be a part of their family, for one thing, and mm-hmm. then just being able to do those things. And mm-hmm. I visited them several years. They moved back to Europe, but I visited them four times, I think, since they've been away, mm-hmm. about 6 years. So anyway, that's another thing I'm proud of, helping them with their kids.
Mm-hmm. How would you like to be remembered?
Well, I would just like to be remembered as a kind person, I think. Mm-hmm. I think that would be satisfying enough.
Okay, I'm good.
69, right? Mm-hmm. In 1969, you'd asked about Stonewall, and in 1969 I was in the military, mm-hmm. in the Army, stationed in Puerto Rico, and heard nothing about Stonewall.
Yeah.
Not a thing. And as I mentioned, I mean, gay people were very isolated, and I didn't know any gay people, and certainly didn't want anybody to think I was gay, mm-hmm. Because I would have been thrown out of the military. Mm-hmm. So I knew nothing about Stonewall, and it wasn't covered in the Stars and Stripes, which was the military newspaper. I don't think it would have been covered. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember being in the local San Juan Daily Star either. So I was really totally unaware of what was going on. Mm-hmm. And didn't really have any connection with the gay community. Mm-hmm. And in retrospect, I'm very proud of those folks, those mostly drag queens, mm-hmm. who stood up, because I would have ran away. Mm-hmm. I was not ready to stand up for my own dignity. I would have cringed and tried to find a hole to crawl into. So, mm-hmm. It was an amazing act on their part. Mm-hmm. Many of them, I'm sure, paid a heavy price for that. Career and economically and all that. Mm-hmm. I was very closeted at the time and unaware of of a gay community even.
Mm-hmm.
Had no idea that there was such a thing.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you want people to know about your experiences?
I think I pretty much revealed everything there was to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yes.